welcome to the Geriatric Millennials. This is Jamie.
And this is Beth.
And we are two oldish, youngish ladies catching up because it's been a minute.
It's been a minute. We were in a baby hiatus.
I know.
For multiple reasons.
Yes.
Which we'll get into.
Yes.
I'm very excited. Like, I gave Jamie a big hug when she came in today because I have many, many, many life updates for her.
Yes.
Most importantly, Vanderpump Rules.
You know what that reminds me of? It totally reminds me of The Office with Kelly.
Yeah.
And they're what's going on with you? And she's like, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie broke up. And she says all the celebrity news. And then
Jim, he's
like, she's like, well, but how are you? And she's like, I just told you.
Were you not paying attention?
So yes, please tell me all the really important stuff about Vanderpump Rules.
It has been a season, right? You know, last year I was very impassioned. I've been a Vanderpump Rules girl since season one, episode one, the first moment.
It's like part of your personality, I think, because this is how many years?
I think it's 10 years now.
It's a while.
It's maybe 11. I don't know. I know it's many, 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 many seasons. And I've rewatched the episodes and they just finished season 11, and now we're going into the reunion. And this was the season after Scandoval. Remember I told you all that drama?
Yes,
with the
you
people
did.
Cheating.
And I do have a confession. I mean, I still haven't actually watched any. Yeah. I mean, shocker.
I mean, yeah.
I'm sorry, but I that name rings a bell. So let's go. Yeah. I want an update.
So I was really hoping to break down this whole season. I had a big plan for little bonus Geriatric Millennials episodes because you know what? Everybody wants to hear about Vanderpump Rules.
I do.
And by everyone, it's just me. And I'm watching the show. I'm listening to all the commentary. I'm
watching all the TikTok.
I need a place to emote.
Yeah.
And I'm not I don't know about you, but I'm not a social media girly. I don't go on Reddit. I don't go on Instagram. I'm not in the comment section actually making comments. I'll read that stuff, but I just don't comment.
I'm not a much.
Yeah.
And I don't actually put much out. I don't post that much either, which I often think about a post, but don't post it.
Same. I have post ideas, especially I think of really cute posts all the time for us, for our little podcast, and then I just don't do it.
Yeah.
Again, I even had Vanderpump Rules posts. Did I do them? No, because I'm just not a posty person. I'm a lurker at heart.
Yeah.
I just like to watch. And this season of Vanderpump has been mind-blowing.
Really?
Yes, because we come off of last season and there was the cheating scandal and then we had this very dramatic reunion where everybody was against Tom Sandoval, who I'm going to refer to as Sandoval, who was the cheating partner of Ariana Maddox.
Yeah.
And I was just everybody was so into it, and it's just you just knew, I knew that they were going to try and turn it on her this next season, because that's what happens in reality TV, right? You go from the highest highs to the lowest lows.
Okay.
And this whole season has really been set up to be his redemption arc of how he's done all this work and is trying to make amends and not really though. And so many people were just starting to hate on her, and it's just been this wild ride that just kind of came to a crescendo at the season finale, where he really tried to make a move to talk to her when she said, I will not be, her boundary was, I will not be having private conversations with you. I will not be talking with you on the show. We're done talking in life, on the show, done. And he tried to approach her and she just walked away. And then she ended up walking out of the little event that they were having, and everybody was freaking out. And this one girl named Lala was going off about how, how can this girl get cheated on and think how do you become God after just getting cheated on? And you live in the same house with him and you won't record with him. And it was just all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there just eating it up.
Yeah.
Like cereal, like Trix on a Saturday morning as a little happy kid when I was 8.
Ooh, it was this so is much good drama stuff.
And it was just really interesting. So a couple things that have come out of this that are really interesting to me is that, one, what is it to forgive someone? And, I think it's always pushed on us. You have to forgive. It's for you. You need to forgive and forget. Forgive, forgive, forgive. And it's no, you don't. It can be healthy to forgive somebody. It can be good and cathartic for you, but I don't got to tell you about it. I don't need to tell you I forgave you. Yeah. I don't need to have communication with you. I can cut you out of my life and let that part of it go without ever having to have closure with you. And there was a lot of that less closure type of, they want that closure moment of that movie moment of where we have the last big standoff. She made a very funny comment about how she was the final boss in the video game he was playing. Like, he had gotten to all the other friends to kind of get them back to either at least talking with him and like tolerating, or actually like on the path to being back to be friends, which is wild to me because this is, they shot this, they started shooting this 3 months after this like huge cheating scandal. You know, one of the, these girls named Sheena, who was friends with him before, like he was kind of, it alludes to that he was kind of pushing the girl that he cheated on, Rachel, to help like file this restraining order against Sheena because there's an allegation that she like shoved her or punched her or something. And you know, she was like, she said that was like the worst experience of her life, and he was kind of part of that, and she just kind of forgave him. Mm-hmm. And she forgave him because he like paid for an audio engineer because she was doing like a little concert, and he had like given her money during the pandemic, and such a good friend and all of this stuff. And it was just like, yeah, I don't know if like, I don't know if your partner did all that, I would never be friends with them ever again. I would never talk to them. And like, I might be able to like let it go so I could be in the same room with them. But guess what? I'm not forgiving anyone anymore. Okay. Like, that's what Vanderpump Rules has taught me. Just don't forgive. Like, I, in some ways, I don't see the point. Like,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. What is your thought on forgiveness of like truly horrible behavior?
I think that it depends because, and it depends on what your definition of forgiveness is. Does forgive mean that you say that it's okay?
Right?
I don't think so.
I would hope not.
No. I think a lot of forgiveness has to do with your own, what am I trying to say?
Like peace?
Yeah. And if you're hanging on to something, it can continue to like eat you up.
It's like that saying where it's like, you know, like revenge is like
drinking poison and expecting the other person. Yeah. So I think it's kind of like that. I do think that there is a healthy thing that happens when you can forgive, but it doesn't, but you don't forget.
No.
And just because you forgive someone doesn't mean that you need to have keep them in your life and then you just continue having a relationship with them necessarily, you know? I mean, but it's a beautiful thing when you can, and it's a mutual, I don't know.
I think there has to be like so much growth on both people's parts.
And I think that's why it depends because,
Yeah. To me, I've seen very little growth from this person just based on, again, I'm only seeing television, right? We're only seeing a sliver of life. But it just doesn't seem like a lot of growth. And for me, it's like I've been in relationships with friends and others and where it's just like somebody does you dirty and it's just like, okay, I can let go of my anger and my hurt, but I'm never letting you in again. Like I'm never, there's always going to be a boundary now.
Yeah. Well, and I also think it depends on the person who did the wrong and what their stance is.
Yeah.
Are they justifying it? Are they sorry? Are they trying to make repair? Are they, do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the fascinating thing about this cheating thing is like the way that they phrase it now, this was a seven months long affair with someone she considered to be a best friend in their house when she's at her grandma's funeral. He had done it with other partners. He's, you know, who knows? Like, she's brought up a really good point. So basically, like, he was sleeping with other people, but sleeping with her still, not using protection. So she's like, he could have exposed me to a deadly STD. Right. You know, that's not consent if you're doing that. And I was just like, that's a really interesting way to look at it. But the way they started phrasing the affair was like, it was almost like it was like a one-time thing or was just like a, it wasn't 1,000 choices, you know, like it was just like, oh, it's like, we just hooked up. Like you need to get over it where it's just like, I'm sorry, but if my boyfriend or my husband or my fiance or my life partner or whomever I'm with, like cheated on me with one of my good friends or someone in our friend circle for months at, you know, a funeral of a family member's right after one of my cats died and you, like Jamie, you went and like started hanging out with them, I would be so hurt.
Yeah.
Like, and make me question your judgment, even if you're like, you were friends with them before.
And it sounds like there's a lot of interrelationships. There's in a lot show. Of,
yes. I mean,
so is this all, this was all like at the finale or this is a reunion? Like what?
So all of this last kind of blow up was at the finale. Like they were just at like this, one of the like one of the kind of the side friends was open, like launching an alcohol or something. And so they were all kind of there filming. And, you know, it just was kind of coming to the head with like all these, you know, all these conversations that had happened. And there, it was just really interesting. Like, I feel like I'm doing a horrible job explaining, but I just have so much in me with it. And it's been a full season.
Yeah.
You know, like there was a whole thing about where there's this other guy named Tom Schwartz, and he was married to this girl named Katie Maloney, who's like gorgeous, like, just like Amazonian queen. What do they call those ladies from like the, who's that lady?
Wonder Woman. Yes.
Like that type of girl. Like, you know, very like that. Anyway, but like they were married and they were together for many years. They're married and then they got divorced. And it was the big thing that they got divorced about, as it appears to me, is that he never had her back. He never stood up for her. He never acted like he liked her. He didn't hold her. I just can't imagine being with somebody that never would back you up, you know, always throw you under the bus. And then he was one of those guys that his charm was being like Peter Pan little boy, like, I'm just so charming and cute. I'm like a little puppy dog, you know, and everybody would just give him a pass. I don't even like
this person right now.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't either. Like, I think he's one of the hardest people to like on the show because he just time and time again, he would say the most hurtful things to the women on the show. I remember one time he told this girl named Lala, like, you're like a wannabe housewife, like look at your lips, like always would say stuff like that. Another girl, he called her a wannabe Kardashian, and like just like really would diminish people. And that's one of the problems with Vanderpump Rules, is that they really never hold the men on that show accountable. Like, it is a very like the women always are pushed down on that show, I believe. Like, mm-hmm. And I've been rewatching from the beginning again, and it's just like time and time again the men do horrible things. And even production doesn't seem to really hold them accountable. They give them really good edits at the end of the day. Like, even after doing horrible things, they always give them a chance to be better. And they consistently go after the women and make them look like either crazy or like, you know, they're making too big a deal out of it. Like, one guy cheated on his girlfriend, like went to Vegas, got another girl pregnant. Then he like, you know, while right after they had gotten kind of, they were broken up, but you know, still fresh. He slept with like, actually Tom Sandoval's girlfriend at the time, who was, you know, his ex-girlfriend's best friend, and they hid it and they lied about it. And then it finally came out. And then the girl that it was, this girl named Stassi, she was like the one that was like cheated on and hurt and betrayed. And she kind of lost all of her friends because they were just like, you just need to forgive. Like, it's no big deal. And that was like back when this show first started, when they were in their 20s. You fast forward, they're in their late 30s and 40s now. And it's just like, it's kind of same old. And it's just, again, the edit that the men get just tends to be better. And I don't know why. I don't know why we like,
I think that's our society.
On the women.
It's
patriarchy.
I think that's why.
It's been really frustrating because, like, you know, these two people bought a house together, Ariana and Sandoval. And everybody's like, why don't you move out of the house? Why don't you move out of the house? And it's just like, maybe her lawyer said, don't move out of the house because you're trying to like, you don't want to like give up your stake. Not that it would, but I don't know real estate law. Like,
right.
I think it gets really complicated when you're not married and you don't have an agreement and you have to like divvy up property and there's not an actual like divorce, you know, it makes it harder. Right.
Yeah.
And people are just like, she should move out. She should move out. I'm like, why shouldn't he move out? Yeah. He's the one that did. That's the big thing. People keep like putting the onus on her to forgive, to move out, to get over it, to like to film with him. And she consistently throughout the season was like at group events with him. She distanced herself. She would say, don't talk to me, all these things. But she was consistently doing that. And it's just like the onus was always on her to make changes. And I'm just like, why do we do that? It's so frustrating.
Yeah. So why do you like this show?
I don't know. It's so good. The drama is high. I've been with these people since, you know, I started watching this show. I think I started watching the show right after my dad died, and he would have loved it. My dad loved reality TV. He was a big Kardashian watcher. Okay. And I remember I was living in Chicago and he was here in the hospital, and one of my girlfriends went to the hospital and would like visit him, and they would talk about the Kardashians and like, like, you know,
I mean,
when I was growing up, my dad and I would, he always watched soap operas, but I would watch soap operas with him. And like, there was a soap opera called Swan's Crossing. It was like in the 90s, starred Sarah Michelle Gellar. I think it only lasted like a season, but it was like a full-on soap opera with teens.
Oh, wow.
Like, and it was like, I think it came on at like 2 or 3. I don't know, like right after school. It was so good. I was like obsessed with it. And it was just like,
did your dad watch it?
Yes, absolutely. So he was a big reality yeah. TV person. So, yeah. But like not the like Survivor and those. He wanted the drama. Like okay. the drama. And it's like a lot of this, save this cheating scandal. A lot of the drama that happens is so far removed from what I live.
Yeah.
Like that's why I love like Real Housewives of New Jersey just started back up. And I love Real Housewives of like New York, and a lot of their problems again are so far from my problems that it's kind of just like, oh, I like watching like drama that it's not real drama, yeah. you know, it's, yeah. it's a lot of it's manufactured. I wouldn't say that the cheating scandals manufactured, but it's just very interesting. So
huh.
yeah, anyway, it's just been a fascinating season. I feel like I did not even do it justice, but there's just like I think the thing to remember is like, not only is there the show, there's an after show, and then all of the cast pretty much has their own podcast. So they've been sharing oh, wow. about the show too. So I've been like,
do you listen to them?
Yes, all of them. And then I'm looking at different recaps and just different things. And it's just been so much to process. Like I'm almost to the point where I'm almost Vanderpumped out, which is a lot.
You've almost reached your limit.
I've almost reached my limit. So I noticed I've been scaling back a little bit on TikToks and stuff. I just need to get to the reunion and then I'll be great. But they are doing like a little hiatus. So they're going to take some time off, which I think is really good to let people live life. Some people are saying the series is going to end. I don't think so, because this is like the highest rated show on Bravo right now. I think that they're going to give them time to go live life and then come back together and then have new stories, you know, like, cause yeah. you could, it's kind of like beating a dead horse at this point, but.
So is the season still going?
It's still going. So they're right now in the reunion portion. So all the episodes have aired and now there's 3 reunion episodes. And here's the kicker though. So Vanderpump Rules is on Bravo. So that airs on Tuesday nights on Bravo, but because Peacock is their sister or whatever, it also it comes on Peacock on Wednesday mornings, except it's an extended version. So it's very problematic because there are some people that only watch the Bravo version and then they're not getting the whole picture, because if you watch the Peacock one, there's extra scenes and they explain stuff. So you're just like a little bit more. So it's just yeah. like you got to really watch the Peacock one. It just takes up so much of my, like, I don't think about it a lot, but the fact that like, one of the only things I look forward to in life right now is Vanderpump is very telling. But it's just like, I get so happy for these people, like that they're out there living. I'm like, maybe you should go live. I'm like, they're opening sandwich shops. Like Ariana, she was on like Broadway and this show Chicago. She's going to be the new host of Love Island. She has all these collabs, all this stuff. And I just watch her. I'm like, you go, girl. It's yeah. like a really strange parasocial relationship, you know? Yeah. And then like, I'm like, maybe you should go, girl. Maybe you need to go out of your house and go have a little adventure. Like,
yeah.
okay, you're not going to be on Chicago, but at least you could, you know, take a stroll around the block and maybe yeah. meet a new friend.
I mean, it's not a bad idea.
No, but I just love Vanderpump so much. Like, again, it is everything I want it to be and more. They also started a new series, a spinoff called The Valley, which has some former Vanderpump people in it that were very problematic. That show's a dumpster fire, and I love it. Like, I just, these people will be at a party with their friend and be like, you're an effing bitch. And then the next day they're getting coffee. And I'm like, if one of my friends yelled at me like that,
right.
I could,
who yeah,
that, I would be like, I would not come back from it. I would start yeah. crying. And they don't even start crying. They just go right back and they have all these like, I mean, it's fascinating.
That's so interesting.
I think it just takes a special personality to be on these types of shows, because it's like.
It must.
I mean, I honestly think about like my friend group, or I think about the friend group that we had when we were like in our early 30s. It would have been funny, but the drama would have been so different.
Yeah.
Also, it would have been very churchy, I feel like. Well, I'm just going to pray for you. Okay. I'm going to need to pray on that. Like, it would have been so like maybe cringe inducing at times yeah, for that for kind sure. of stuff. But
okay. So how many of the reunion things have you seen?
So the reunion is starting the week that this episode is going up. So as of right now, none.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's the next one will be on Wednesday. Right after this episode airs. I'm very excited. I actually watched the first 7 minutes because they do these sneak peeks. I try not to, because then it's like, you know, you've watched a chunk of the show already.
Yeah.
But I started watching it. And I'm like, it looks so good. And the fascinating thing is like, so usually they give the cast like the entire, like they give them like access to the episodes, and they have to watch a bunch of them ahead of time. But they like reserved part of like this finale or something that they're all going to watch together for like instant reactions. So
the cast watches their own show and then together. They get filmed watching their show.
So this time around, yeah. So it's interesting. Like, so before the reunion,
it's
typically,
like us listening to our podcast.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, but it'd be different.
Somebody watching us listen.
Yeah, but it's different because it's like if you were doing a side interview with and be like, you know what? I really hate Beth and I hate her voice. Oh. And then I was hearing it for the first time, all the stuff you're saying, because that's been the whole like the whole.
So there's a lot of backstabbing and all that.
A lot of backstabbing. And it was really interesting.
Do you think it's real?
Oh, yeah. I think some of it's manufactured. I mean, and some of it's not, because, you know, people play up for cameras and whatnot. But I think at the core, it's a real thing. Ariana Maddox was saying how like she didn't watch the show really before the reunion because she was on starring on Chicago and she was doing 8 shows a week and she needed to focus. And so she didn't watch all the episodes, she said, before going into the reunion. So she's going in thinking like the girls are like the Spice Girls, like they had this united front and they were all doing good. Well, the whole time, Sheena and Lala, Sheena is like one of her best friends and Lala, she's close with too, have been talking crap about her the whole time.
Oh my gosh. So and she didn't even know.
She didn't know. So in all the interviews, you're hearing this. And then like she slowly started hearing more. You could see the shift. And she did some PR. She was on Andy Cohen is the guy that like he's like the big Bravo guy. And he does all the reunions and he's a producer on a lot of the shows, but not Vanderpump. Anyway, he had her on his after show called Watch What Happened Live. He brags on all the Bravo celebrities. And anyway, the way she was talking, it's like, I'm in a cult. Okay. Yeah. I'm in a cult. It's real bad. And anyway, but you could tell that she had like started to see some of the like footage and it's just like not great, you know, like,
yeah.
And that's one thing I can't imagine. Like, I mean,
that experience.
Everybody talks crap a little bit, right? But I can't imagine like watching a show back and now I'm seeing all the moments where my friends were talking crap about me. Because I think talking crap is a natural part of relationships. Like things happen or you're sharing and sometimes it's serious, sometimes it's not. It's just kind of like what happens. Like, you know, God bless, you know, my future husband because he's going to get an earful every day about every person I know. Because it's like, and it's not to be mean. It's just like, you'll never believe what so-and-so did. And then it's gone and I don't think about it ever again. You know,
right,
it's
right.
Like, it's whatever. But I can't imagine those conversations filmed and then that person watching it.
Right. No kidding.
Because then it's like, but that's the weird thing. They film these and they know they're being filmed and it's going to be showed. And they'll just be like, yeah, she's just being like a bitch.
That's why I'm wondering if they do that on purpose. But
I think, especially this season, I think this girl Lala, I think she was producing a little bit and like trying to like, I don't know, she kind of... She acts real tough. She's like, they make fun of her a little bit like on the internet because she's from Utah and her real name's Lauren. So they call her Lauren from Utah because sometimes she'll put on a little bit of a black scent and be like, there's like a famous meme of her where she's talking about someone. She's like, you don't want to get popped, and like puts her hand in a gun and like acts all tough. And it's just like, ma'am, you're from Utah. Like, I don't know. So sometimes she goes a little over of being like, she used to say too, she was like Tupac reincarnated and all this crazy stuff. And sometimes just like, I need you to stop. Like, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
But she's also beautiful and has like, she's having a second baby and she's a little makeup empire type of thing. And I'm like, good for you. Like, I mean, you're winning at life. I'm sitting in a room talking with my friend that never seen your show about my obsession with your show. So clearly, but it is just fascinating to watch and how they navigate. And again, like, I do think you have to almost have some type of personality like issue, maybe disorder to be on those shows. I mean,
how do they even find people for these shows? Like, I don't know how that works.
Lisa Vanderpump, who's the namesake of this show, she was on a show called Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and she pitched, like, she had all these young people working at her restaurant.
Oh, that's right.
And so she was like pitched a show, like, oh, we should do a show about them. And so they just kind of had a core, like, so there's Jackson Stassi, who had actually broken up before the show, I guess, and then got back together. Tom Sandoval and Kristen were together, and they're all friends. And then Tom Schwartz and Katie Maloney. So they all work at the restaurant, Tom Schwartz, and they were all friends from before.
Right.
And then they brought Sheena in because she had an affair with this girl named Brandy, with her husband, who was like a B-list 90s celebrity. And she was like the other woman. And anyway, but she worked at this place called Villa Blanca. And so that was kind of the end to bring in her to Vanderpump Rules and like segue that into the show. Okay. I know too much about these people. I just want to say I just want to say, as I'm talking about it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is too much.
You know a lot. Yeah. I mean, it sounds really interesting. I think I should just Google so I can at least see the cast. Like,
yes.
And put a name to the face. I mean, sorry, a face to the name.
Yes. And you need to, I'm going to send you a TikTok because somebody recently did not a before and after, but like when they first started and now.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating because a lot of them are really into Botox and they've gotten fillers and just, they've gotten like nice little tweaks. So most of them look really good and don't look like overdone yet, but it's been an interesting transformation.
I believe it.
I'm just sad that in my life, my brain latched onto Vanderpump and not like coding. You know what I mean? I could have been in STEM. I could be right now working in AI and developing software and writing code and doing things to make the world a better place. But instead, I know all about Sheena Shea's life. You know, I know all about Lala Kent. And I know way too much about Tom Sandoval. And it's just like,
I mean,
it's sad.
It sounds like it's more entertaining than coding, though.
I don't know. I don't know. It's definitely more dramatic.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm just excited. We're in the final stretch of Vanderpump Rules, and then I'm free. I'm free, Jamie.
To
live my own life.
Real life.
Hey, if you're enjoying this podcast and would like to support our show, you can share episodes with your friends and family, follow us on Instagram at the Geriatric Millennials, or leave us a positive review and rating, all which help us to grow. Our theme music was created by the Finley Ghost, so check out their latest album now. Thank you so much.